God, that Goodfellas skit by the Bloodline was funny. Bohemian was priceless with it. When Roman started confronting him, what? And then, what am I, a tribal clown? I like Solo Sikoa at the very end when he said, you are a funny tribal chief. Very, very serious on Solo Sikoa's face. Hey, we talked about it yesterday. My friends, you know, we are almost there. We're going to see the bloodletting of the Bloodline. This will age well in the very near future. Now what my job to do is to find all the screenshots with Solo Sikoa not having the most pleasant look on his face to Roman Reigns. We got this one. We got this one. Yeah, we're going to make a little conspiracy theories. Very near future. Speaking of theories, loved Austin Theory's empty arena promo tonight. You know, it doesn't matter if I do it in front of an empty arena or if I do it at SoFly Stadium, because I don't do it for the fans. I don't do it for someone who wants to be the next Austin Theory. I'm not doing it to be the next John Cena. I am doing it for me. Excellent. Couldn't have done any better for it. So tonight, we're going to keep it very short. Yeah, I am going to make excuses tonight. Today is my birthday. And I normally don't celebrate birthdays. For me, it's just another day. My mom insisted on taking us out to dinner. And we went out to dinner, came back late. So I had to literally, like, watch Raw in 1.5 times speed, skip all the commercials. I watched everything. But, you know, after having a couple of cocktails and being up since early this morning, I am exhausted. And we got a lot of shit coming up this week with shows. As you saw as the thumbnail for tonight, it's a little hype for Thursday. Now, Kevin and I tomorrow night on Patreon are going to stream live WrestleMania predictions. We will take that show and we will make it live for everyone who is tuning in online on Thursday at 12 noon. So you will get that as well. And so tomorrow's going to be a little bit of a crazy day. And listen, right now, if you are interested, there's a poll on my Twitter, at DonTonyD, and there's a poll on the community section on YouTube. I ask that you vote, because we're going to take the two combined votes, and we're going to figure out who's the leading vote getter. We have three options as far as how we're going to cover WrestleMania recap, WrestleMania 39. We got three options. You have to vote on it. Majority rules. All right. I'm sorry for anybody that may not like the outcome, but we're going to take both polls, add them together, and whatever's the majority, that's what it's going to be. But the poll's going to close in a day or two because I have to start planning, you know, what the agenda is going to be. Now, on that poll, your choices are A, where I do two WrestleMania recaps this weekend. I do it for night one, right after, night two, right after. That is option one. Option two is that we only do one WrestleMania recap for everything, and that would be Sunday night. We would cover both nights, and we would do it all in one shot. That is the second option. The third option is no recap Saturday or Sunday, but instead get another retro reunion, whatever you want to call it, Don Tony and Kevin Castle show recap of WrestleMania 39, that would record Tuesday night, 10 p.m. And we would probably release it to everybody immediately as well. So those are your three options. I'm very curious to see how people are going to vote. And the voting is going to close probably tomorrow right after NXT. So we get a good idea as far as what you all want. If you have a particular preference, make sure you vote. Doesn't cost anything. And majority is going to dictate what we do. So we'll see. We'll see. And look, you know, if there's enough demand for one thing over another, then, you know, we'll definitely make room for it. So another thing tonight, I want to get this out of the way right away. Last week we did a ratings predictions contest for someone to win this WWE rookie card signed by Dominic Mysterio. And all you had to do is predict last week's Raw rating, come closest to it. Well, here is the screenshot from last week's contest. And the actual raw rating was 1,771,000. And Mark Ness predicted 1,780,000. So he is the winner of the Guess the Ratings contest. So Mark Ness, you got to reach out to me soon, a couple of days, to let me know your shipping address so I could send you your Dominic Mysterio card. One or two other people came close, but not as close as Mark Ness. So congrats to you. We'll get into some ratings later on. We'll talk a little bit about Raw. Raw tonight was decent show. It had its ups, it's had its downs, no question. I think people are complaining a little bit too much about Omos and Brock Lesnar. You know, I mean, it's not going to be one of those, you know, memorable matches. But, you know, Brock Lesnar, listen, say what you want. Facts are facts. Brock Lesnar likes Omos. Undertaker would love to mentor Omos. You know, Undertaker even went further and described how Omos wants to soak everything up like a sponge about wrestling. You know, that's who you want to try to improve. You don't want someone who is doing a half-assed job and you just feel like their heart is not into it. A lot of people say that about Ronda Rousey. I don't know if I actually agree with that. But when you hear the compliments behind the scenes towards Omos, you know, you kind of want to root for the guy. So I don't mind. I don't mind this match. It wasn't a match that I asked for, but it's an attraction. It's two giants. Omos weighed in today at 410 pounds. We didn't get the weight of Brock because we got an impromptu brawl instead. And Omos once again on top, Brock exiting the ring and kind of detracting a little bit. You have to do that. You have to give some suspension of disbelief that Omos has a shot. You know, that's the whole deal. You don't want Brock to just dominate the guy. So, you know, we'll see what happens with the match at WrestleMania. I think it's going to end up being a lot better than people anticipate. You know, I think some people out there are more angry because they think Vince McMahon had something to do with it because of how close Vince's relationship is with Brock Lesnar. Just there's so many matches to choose from. If you're not high on that one, there's plenty of others to be high on. So I see a couple of birthday shout-outs came in, a couple of super shout-outs. I would like to definitely shout these gentlemen out. At Rafael Gutierrez with a $5 happy birthday, DT. Thank you, Rafael. I appreciate it, man. I feel old today. Mark Hicks II with a two-spot happy birthday, DT. Thank you as well. Much love. And Aphrodite's Crush. I kind of miss doing those watch parties, man. It's a shame that so little people turned out. You know, I was thinking about maybe bringing it back, but, you know, I have lost faith that we're going to get a lot of people like they said they were. I'm surprised, even for SmackDown. You would think SmackDown would be the show that everybody would want to get together, but they didn't, so, but who knows. But thank you very much, my friend, for the five spot. Let's go for 25 more years, DT. Yeah, if I go for 25 more years, yeah, that would really put me up there in age. I'm telling you, it's sobering, man. I mentioned it yesterday. You know, 9/11 hit, and a couple of months later, a plane went down in Rockaway, Queens, three blocks from my parents' house. My father owns a grocery store. My father brought all his food and water and garbage bags and everything to help, you know, with the rescue efforts. Hillary showed up, and my dad was talking to Hillary for a little bit, and he said, can we take a picture? And he took it, and I've shown it on these shows before. And I was talking to my mom, you know, yesterday about, you know, my birthday, and, you know, she's very sentimental, and she's like, oh, it was X amount of years that, you know, I had to go to the hospital at this very point, and she calls me this morning exactly 9:24 a.m. But it hit me yesterday that the photo that you all saw of my dad with Hillary, I was his age at that time. So to think that 20 years have gone by since 9/11, and it doesn't feel like it was yesterday, but I can't believe it's 20 years. I can't believe it's 20 years, 22 years, 22 years. And it's like, wow, how old I am now is how old my dad was back then. So if these past 20 years flew this fast, oh my God, oh my God. I mean, I'm the longest reigning podcaster. I don't want to be the oldest. Ah, shit. Yeah, I know, age ain't nothing but a thing, especially when you got hair dye. You know, you still got hair. You still got hair. You know, it's all pushed down right now. So, all right, we got to talk about a few things. First of all, let's talk about the newest inductee into the WWE Hall of Fame. We talked about this last night, that somebody was going to be mentioned tonight, and it did happen. Stacy Keibler, the Duchess of Dudleyville. She is now in the WWE Hall of Fame class of 2023. I know there was some buzz about it. We had some fun on Saturday when she posted that Twitter picture of her and the kids. Oh, I was living the family life for the last 6 years, and I'm back to reconnect. And what did we say? Oh, you know, just right at the time that the Hall of Fame's about to go down. You know, pretty coincidence. You know, a lot of coincidence there. I will tell you this. I will tell you this. When I heard the news earlier today, I DM'd someone that I trust that works within WWE, and I asked, any chance of Melina still going in? Because I just think of this scenario, and it fits beautifully, especially if they're in Hollywood. You just picture her entrance into the Hall of Fame. They roll out the red carpet and do the fake photography flashes like before. Hollywood, it's perfect. I don't know if they're still doing it, but we were talking a little bit about Stacy Keibler, and this person made a point to me that WWE was going to put Stacy Keibler in the Hall of Fame a couple of years ago. And what happened was she had started a family, but then COVID hit as well. And she was so consumed with her family and COVID and other things that it wasn't the right time for her to go into the WWE Hall of Fame. So she actually, if we didn't get this COVID, hey, she may have still held off because of her family. She's got a couple of very, very young kids. So she was going to go in before, but they have decided to put her in now. And you know what? Good that, you know, she is willing and very excited to be going in. I checked her win-loss record and her matches in her career. She's had about 40 matches, 41 matches. She is perfect on pay-per-view. She's never won a match on pay-per-view. Her win-loss record was not all that great. I think her best win-loss record might have been in WCW. She might have been like 4 wins and 3 losses. Stacy Keibler was not there to wrestle. It's pretty obvious. She had, you know, a very interesting and a very sexy character at that time. You know, her legs, you know, didn't she set like a Guinness World Record because of those legs? I'm not sure, but I always said it. If Tori Wilson is in, she's got to be in, you know. But there are others, obviously, that should be in before her. So, but she's going in the Hall of Fame, and congratulations to her. Speaking of Hall of Fames and WrestleManias, you know, this week in wrestling history that I'm going to drop for all of you tomorrow is the biggest one of the year. You know, we have 52 weeks in a year. We have 52 episodes in a year. And of those 52 episodes, this week is the biggest episode of them all. When you look at some of the photo synopsis for this week in history, it was 15 years ago that Ric Flair made his retirement speech at Raw when he lost to Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania. I'm sorry, I love you. I mean, that happened. That is part of this show. We have the audio highlights for it. Then we move on to these WrestleManias. We have, let me fix this. There you go. We have these WrestleManias, infamous confrontation between D-Generation X and the Nation of Domination. It continues with more WrestleManias. Goldberg versus The Rock, that confrontation first began at that time. And my favorite moment of all of this, when Kane was in the back with Hulk Hogan and The Rock, and Kane started to do the, what you gonna do, what you gonna do? Oh, my God, I love that. That was an amazing, amazing memory to have that happen. But, Kane impersonating Hulk Hogan was funny. But, we got even more memories. Let's pull this up over here. You know, we had Sean O'Hare's Devil's Advocate gimmick. That began. Tori Wilson was in Playboy. Chris Jericho with his crazy-ass list of moves, I think, to mock Dean Malenko. WCW going out of business. I mean, there's just loads and loads of history. If anybody out there wants to freeze frame the synopsis for this week, that is the first two-thirds of the synopsis. You could always pause the show and you could go look at the list. A lot of main audio highlights in there. And this is the second half. So pretty cool. Absolutely pretty cool. NXT memories. AJ Lee wrestles her last ever match in WWE. You know, oh, Batista finds himself in Bizarro Land during the Yes Movement. So something major went down there. So it is definitely the biggest week to cover of the year. So I hope you all enjoy it. That was one of my favorite episodes to do. So tonight, I guess we could throw this rumor killer right out the window. Let's just make it clear. There's a belt floating around. And, you know, I think anybody with a quarter of a brain could figure out that this is not a belt that WWE is going to use for Cody Rhodes if he wins the championship. All right, it is a beautiful custom belt. We don't know who made it. We don't know who possesses it. The only reason why I'm even showing it to you, other than it looks really nice, is you got enough dirtbags out there clickbaiting people, teasing that WWE may actually debut this belt right after WrestleMania. It is a lie. It is an absolute lie. That is the belt. It is a beautiful belt. Don't get me wrong. It's kind of reminiscent of the old Winged, the WWF Winged title. And it's an American Nightmare theme, and this is great. Maybe you put that on sale on WWE Shop if you want to do that, but I think the telltale sign that you know this is fake is there's no WWE references on it. There are no WWE references on it. That shows me right away that this is not a belt that WWE is going to be using. But I had to still put it out there because enough people are reporting it. That few of you actually tweeted me today and say, hey, is this true? So I had to come out here and clear that up. It's a beautiful belt. It's a beautiful belt. Another beautiful belt that you may want to check out is this one. This is a belt that Cody Rhodes is going to wear at WrestleMania. I don't know if I'll be able to zoom in. My camera, once I load it, sometimes it plays tricks, and it's playing tricks out. Yeah, it will not let me zoom in. But if you look inside the belt, Cody handwrote every promotion that he has ever wrestled for. Every promotion. And he has it listed in there. And that is pretty cool. That is an awesome-looking belt. Gives you an idea of his attire for Sunday. But, yeah, I tell you the truth. I was hoping that maybe that was stitched in some way, because you would think if you're using ink, you put it on, you're sweating a little bit, you know, it's probably going to smear pretty good. But I wonder if he's going to give that one away at Mania, or do you keep it and maybe you do it through WWE Shop? Maybe you do an auction for it. Every promotion that he's ever been a part of that he has on that belt, even the ones that business-wise were not all that great. And we're not talking about AEW either. So tonight they focused around three parts with Raw. We did get some additional matches. Seth Rollins beating Mustafa Ali pretty handedly. Gunther beating Dolph Ziggler pretty handedly. Chelsea Green, as we all expected, got her spot in the showcase match. She will not be teaming with Carmella. It appears Carmella is injured once again. Sonya Deville shows up, and it kind of makes sense if you think about it. Chelsea Green is not happy with Adam Pearce, and we know that Sonya Deville, you know, working with Adam Pearce, and she's not happy with him either. So both of them kind of have common ground there, and Adam Pearce says, look, you two will have a match tonight against Meechan, Mia Yim, and Candice LeRae. If you beat those two, then you're in the match. And that's exactly what they did. They beat Meechan and Candice LeRae, and they are now in the showcase match. So right now, here is what the showcase match looks like for the women. Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez versus Natty and Shotzi versus Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler versus Chelsea Green and Sonya Deville. as of right now, I still am leaning towards Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler to win it. They will ultimately, I think, they got to give a tag team title shot out of this. I think these fatal four ways are going to be that the winner gets a future tag team title shot. It only makes sense. And who knows who are going to be the ones to dethrone Becky Lynch and Lita. You know, a lot of people are still questioning how long is Lita going to stick around. You know, she's tag team champion, and that's nice and everything. Once WrestleMania is over, you almost feel like it's almost a guarantee that they're dropping those belts within a month at the most. Do they drop it in Saudi Arabia? Do they drop it the week after Raw? That is pretty much the question. Miz TV today had Becky, Lita, and Trish Stratus. And, you know, The Miz trying to ruffle some feathers. At one point, he actually tried to stir it up with Trish and Lita. And he basically said that Trish seems to be playing backup to Becky Lynch, you know, because Becky is with Lita. And Trish just brushed it off like nothing. Some people out there, I think, are convinced that Trish Stratus is going to turn heel. I just don't see it. I just, to be honest with you, I don't see it. How long is she going to be around to even do that? And then who does she feud with? I'm not feeling it. But they had a funny segment with Miz. Obviously, you get the testicle jokes. That keeps coming in. Damage Control shows up. And, you know, they have a lot of back and forth with the insults. And this leads to a match between Becky Lynch and Io Sky. And that match was off the hook. They let them work. And the fans got into it. They were chanting, "This is awesome." They had a really, really good match. In the end, Becky hits Io Sky with the manhandle slam for the win. And some people are thinking that Damage Control might turn on Bayley down the line. Who knows? Who knows? I mean, look, we're definitely going to get some surprise at WrestleMania. I'm still wondering if MVP turns on Omos and Omos turns babyface. I don't know. I just got that vibe. Maybe it happens. Maybe it doesn't. But some people out there really think that Damage Control might disband after WrestleMania. We shall see. We had a really good video package for Asuka. I didn't think it was needed to have another face-to-face confrontation today, especially after last week. And last week was at best. Notice how they didn't do any wild and insane pull-aparts between those two. It was more like psychological. Asuka dribbles blue, and Bianca acts like she's never seen it before. You know, especially after dealing with spooky Alexa Bliss. Remember when they were sitting in that doctor's room, a hotel room, and didn't Alexa, like, bash a lamp over her head or something like that? So Seth Rollins cutting a promo in the back, and he's interrupted by Mustafa Ali. And, you know, Seth is talking negative about Logan Paul. And Mustafa, now they're trying to go with a term called Positive Ali. You know, like Positively, Positive Ali. I don't know. Seth Rollins reminds Ali about their history, that they were supposed to fight. And, you know, better late than never. They have the match. The match is over 1, 2, 3. Seth gets on the mic and pretty much says that if he loses at WrestleMania, that he will be the joke of the two of them, between him and Logan Paul. Baron Corbin wants an opportunity, and he's pushed aside by Adam Pearce once again so Adam could talk to Chelsea Green, and he ends up giving them an opportunity. And Baron Corbin is standing aside like, seriously? Seriously? I mean, I don't know. Is WWE supposed to, like, keep doing that to him, make us feel bad? I don't know. It almost feels like that's where they're going with it. I still don't feel bad. Keep interrupting him. Seriously. You know, he doesn't deserve nothing right now. Nothing. But Corbin versus Gunther. I want to see that fucking chest cave in. Omos, as we said earlier, they had to weigh in. Omos weighs at 410. Brock, we never saw what his weight was because he started brawling with Omos. Tried to pick up a scale to hit Omos with it, but Omos kicks him in the face. Brock Lesnar gets out of Dodge. Again, you know, not a very good segment, but it was designed to make Omos come across stronger. When Brock, listen, the weigh-in was designed for one thing. When Brock picks up Omos, hits him with the F5, that's 410 pounds. That is 410 pounds to F5. That is going to be a big deal. Art S with the 1999. Celebrate the first super chat from Art S. Thank you, Art. I appreciate that. I hope you're having a good night. I hope you have a really great week. You know, enjoy the wide diversity of wrestling, you know, because WWE's not the only game in town that's doing shows this week. You got Ring of Honor, you got AEW, you got MLW, you got Impact, got a lot of shows going on. So, you know, I hope you enjoy the week. I'm enjoying it. I'm just, forgive me for tonight, I'm a little spent, you know, being my birthday and everything. I got up super early today. You know, people don't realize, you know, I don't have like a do not disturb set on my phone yet, but people think it's okay to like text me at 6:30 in the morning or 10 to 7. Hey, I was walking to the bus, just want to wish you happy birthday. And I'm like, I'm still trying to like get out of bed. Like, and it's been like that all day. So that's why I want to get out of here a little bit early today, because I am exhausted. Rhea Ripley. Now, I think the buzz about Rhea Ripley was more about her T-shirt. About her T-shirt. People like, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. I got to get that shirt. I'm happy to tell everybody that that shirt is available on WWE Shop. It says, bail me out, mammy. I won't make it in jail. It's a shirt to mock Dominic Mysterio in jail. It's pretty funny. The interesting thing about it is if you go on WWE Shop, they do ship it out within 2 days. We talked about over the weekend, there's a couple of WrestleMania shirts that I wanted to buy, and I would have paid for the premium overnight shipping and wear it for the weekend. And WWE's not even printing them and selling them until the middle of April. What the fuck am I going to do with them after April? You know, to me, it's kind of worthless. But this shirt was pretty funny. But, you know, once again, Rhea Ripley, we love her, but a little too relaxed with the promos. Oh, Charlotte, her legacy will not dictate my destiny, because at WrestleMania, I must win the championship, because the championship will dictate my destiny. And Charlotte, with her legacy, cannot dictate. Oh, God. I almost hear like Tony Khan with his 9 extra unnecessary sentences when he talks about something. If you listen to it back, she opens up and she's like, you know, Charlotte, her legacy will not dictate my destiny. My destiny will be dictated when I become women's champion. And just to me, it's just a little too, I don't want to say Keith Lee-ish. It's not that bad. Like, we don't have Charlotte greetings and salutations, Charlotte Flair. It's not to that point. But it's almost like poetry. You know what I mean? Like, you go to, like, an off-Broadway play that's like they're doing something from the 1800s. It feels like poetry. I know it doesn't rhyme. Like, there once was a girl named Charlotte, you know, that whatever. It's just, she sounds poetic when she talks. I wanted to sound like a nasty son of a bitch. You know, when it, Mammy is spelled M-A-M-I, you know, I think she needs a little more attitude. I'm just saying. Finn Balor. Finn Balor cutting a promo on Edge, and basically what we got out of it was Finn, mostly without makeup, a little flash with the makeup, kind of give you the vibes of Bray Wyatt. When they show the flash of the Fiend across the screen. And basically, Finn Balor says, he doesn't need to go find the demon. Edge, I don't need to go find the demon. The demon is always with me. And he is ready for WrestleMania. All I know is that that's the last thought that I have of Finn Balor. Anybody remember that night? That was awful. That is my last thought of the demon Balor, I should say. Let's hope this time around it's a little bit better. No, I don't think Finn Balor's winning, but if they have a pretty wild, you know, just all-out brawl and Edge just squeaks it out, I won't feel like Finn Balor got jobbed out. Finn Balor's been doing tremendous over the last 10 months. Tremendous job. And I think they will kill it at WrestleMania. Now, the interesting thing is, maybe by tomorrow when we do predictions, we'll know. But there are quite a few matches that we don't know are going to be night one and night two. Unfortunately, if you go to Wiki right now, there are people out there that are playing guess games. They already have six, seven matches listed for one particular night. There is nothing that it's based on. It is guesses. Now, if you saw my thumbnails yesterday, you know, I put a couple of matches on both nights, and I said, you know, I just made the template, just to put a template up, but, you know, that's my guess of which matches will be on each night. I don't know if that's going to happen, but some people went an extra mile, and they're updating Wiki to put this in there. There's a lot of people that think, oh, this has happened on night two. Oh, this has happened on night one. And I don't, you can't really go by that. So, Bernard, thank you very much. But, hell, you did the Macho Man earlier in the bathroom. As long as it comes out, right? But I'm telling you, any of you out there that really have to pee, hold it in for 10 extra minutes. And when you let it out in the bathroom, you'll do the Roman Reigns. You'll be like, ooh, wow. Telling you, just don't like put your hands in the air because you're supposed to like hold it while you're peeing. Like you don't want to like pee all over your seat. But if you hold it in and you hold it in long enough and then you just start letting that go, I'm telling you, you're going to be like, ooh, ooh, ah. Definitely. All those decades of doing the Macho Man. Now I do the Roman. Hey guys, I just did the Roman right before I came in. So. All right, what else do we got here? Braun Strowman ricocheting the Street Profits over the Viking Raiders and Alpha Academy. Really, really fun match. The end of the match, we had Ricochet hit a beautiful Swanton, and then Montez Ford, shades of Rob Van Dam, frog splash, shifting in midair and doing what Rob Van Dam used to do, amazing. And, you know, unfortunately for Eric, he was the one to eat both moves, and they lost. So Ricochet, Braun and the Street Profits victorious leading into WrestleMania. Cody cutting a promo. He's earned this long before he ever returned to WWE. So Solo's going to learn that he's not ready, and Roman will learn at WrestleMania that when he becomes WWE Universal Champion. Paul Heyman a little bit later on, you know, Cody has never really been ready. Cody Rhodes was never ready to fill the shoes of the American dream. Cody Rhodes was never ready to be the man of this generation, be ready to acknowledge your tribal chief at WrestleMania. So, I mean, this whole storyline is either do it for Dusty, do it for Dad, or you're not ready. That's really what it comes down to. I mean, I know finish the story, but they seem to be focusing on these two things. You're not ready. You're not ready. You're not, and to me, it all stemmed with John Cena and Austin Theory. If you really go back and you think about it, I kind of feel like that's where this came from. But Austin Theory's promo in the empty arena earlier, I loved it. You know, it gave me the COVID vibes during the pandemic when they didn't have live fans in attendance for a little while. But him cutting the promo in the empty arena, Austin Theory is on fire right now. That motherfucker put it all together. And I'm happy. I'm happy because we never wavered with Austin Theory. And our shows, you could check out archives to prove it. But, you know, when you had everybody out there ripping the shit out of WWE for having him drop the briefcase the way he did, you know, that night I came up here and I said, that's the greatest thing that could have ever happened to him. Get that fucking briefcase away from him. He doesn't need it. He doesn't need it. It doesn't matter if he lost 30 of his last 32 matches. So did Carmella. And I'm not trying to compare in their careers, but get that briefcase away from him. Whatever you got to do, you know, and they did. And he has been on fire ever since. So I'm looking forward to it. If he continues some type of legend killer gimmick, you know, you hear rumors about Randy Orton making a return. Now, he's going to do a few appearances for WrestleMania weekend. Will he actually return to the ring? Will he do a spot? We don't know. We don't know. I hear things, some rumblings of what they want to do for Bobby Lashley. Some of them sound amazing. I believe it when I see it. You know, I don't want to put it out there because it's probably wrong. But, you know, they're definitely going to make good for Bobby Lashley. So for anybody out there that's still pissed that he's in that battle royal, he will be at WrestleMania too. Have no worries, everyone. Have no worries. So, Rey Mysterio beating Damian Priest today, who had Dominic Mysterio in his corner. Rey won by DQ due to Dominic interfering and beating down on his dad. Santos Escobar made the save, but the big story coming out of it is the promo that Dominic Mysterio cut before Rey even came out for the match. Dominic cutting a promo on his family, talking about how his family is jealous of him because he's taller, he's more handsome. He says that his mom has always sided with his dad, and he's just a deadbeat. But then he goes on and he says, "Dad, I've never said this out loud, but I wish, always wished, that Eddie was my father and you never existed." You know, that's powerful shit. I mean, it's just storyline, but that still hits a nerve. And, yeah, that's going to be pretty intense. I'm telling you, the fans want to see Dominic get his ass kicked. And when we do predictions tomorrow, I teased it yesterday, or it was Saturday's show. I see this match in my head almost identical of how it's going to play out. I already see what Dominic is going to do to manipulate his dad during this match. And if done right, Dominic may end up getting the win over his father. So we'll definitely talk about that tomorrow with predictions. As I said earlier, Gunther over Dolph Ziggler. And then your main event, Cody Rhodes over Solo Sikoa. This was a fun match. The Usos tried to get involved. They were negated by Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens, who also came out. And they brawled to the back, this leaving Solo Sikoa and Cody Rhodes in the ring. Solo is about to do the Samoan Spike, but Cody reverses it into Crossroads. Only needed one. And got the pin. And, you know, as we said earlier, Roman Reigns is not going to be happy with Solo Sikoa. And if Cody Rhodes defeats Roman Reigns for that championship, trust me, you will see. I mean, I'm not finished with the banner yet, but you will definitely see this thumbnail coming. That Cody Rhodes with a big smile on his face while Roman Reigns is beating the fuck out of Solo Sikoa. But like I said, I got to find more thumbnails. I got to find more looks where Solo is, you know, you could tease it that he's not happy. Oh, I got others. I just haven't put them in the computer yet. So, all right. Dark matches from tonight. Dexter Lumis over Odyssey Jones. Dana Brooke over Electra Lopez. NXT tomorrow. Last NXT before Stand and Deliver. By the way, for those that are interested, this Wednesday, after AEW Dynamite, I will be here online doing NXT Stand and Deliver, a preview, and predictions. We got some pretty damn good matches lined up for it. So if you'd like to join me, that'll be Wednesday, 10 o'clock, live, right here. We will be doing predictions for Stand and Deliver. We'll also try to predict what's going to happen with Roxanne Perez at that event. Will we find out that Cora Jade is the one running people over in the parking lot? It's a few things, and there might be actually one or two surprises planned as well. So we'll do that. We'll discuss AEW Dynamite. If you're interested, this is your Dynamite episode for Wednesday. Kenny Omega taking on Jeff Cobb for the IWGP US Heavyweight Championship. Matt Hardy versus Jack Perry. Dalton Castle and the Boys versus the Blackpool Combat Club. Willow Nightingale versus Ruby Soho. And Orange Cassidy defending the International Championship over The Butcher. Versus The Butcher, I should say. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. Not one match on there really stands out to me. You know, I don't want to watch wrestling just to see the ones I like wrestle. You know, and again, it has nothing to do with, you know, storylines or build or anything like that. But some matches, you know, it just feels put together. You know, random person against random person. So, but I got a funny super chat. Some of you see on the screen already. Misfit Thor with the five spot. My mom has hated wrestling for most of my life, and she even popped for when Ray hit Dom. Yeah, that was a great spot, man. And like I said on Saturday, I think the crowd may have been even a little bit louder than when Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens hugged the week before. That pop was loud. They kept repeating it. And I was like, yeah, that's good. I'm telling you, it's going to be a really good match. I want to see Rhea Ripley eat a 619. I almost feel Rhea Ripley has to eat a 619. I mean, I know no male-on-female violence. We've talked about that before. You've seen plenty of examples of it. You see how they try to, like, play around. Just remember when Tozawa was in a match with, I think, with Rhea Ripley, right? But I think it's time you give her a 619. It's not the end of the world. I don't think any groups or advocacy groups out there are going to get pissed off about it. But we will see what happens. Oh, God, I do not want Orange Cassidy open in Dynamite. I tell you, my ears are going to explode. I joked on social media, and I meant it. You know, it's nothing against that song, and it's nothing against Orange Cassidy, but, you know, I'm old. I'm in my 50s. All right? I heard that song near when it came out, and they used to play it on the fucking radio on loop way too many times. So every time I hear the fucking piano, I used to play the piano, too. I probably could play that on the piano. It's just I'm sick of the song, and I hear it almost every other week now. It's the opening song. All right, NXT tomorrow, a battle royal to determine the final spot in the 5-way match for the NXT North American Championship. I hope Dijak wins it. Just put him in the match. Dijak has earned that spot. If he's healthy, put Dijak in the match. That's what I say. I'm rooting for Dijak to win that last spot tomorrow. Sol Ruka versus Ivy Nile versus Indy Hartwell. Whoever wins that match gets the last spot for the ladder match for the NXT Women's Championship at Stand and Deliver. Grayson Waller will have confrontation once again with Johnny Gargano. Probably a nice brawl to lead into Stand and Deliver. Eddie Thorpe makes his debut. That is the former Carl Fredericks, for those that may not know. And I think that's everything that was advertised for tomorrow. Actually, you know what? I take back one thing about Dynamite. I take back one thing. The one match that I am looking forward to seeing is Adam Cole versus Daniel Garcia. That is the only match that intrigues me on Wednesday, because I am a big fan of Adam Cole. Big fan. Way before he ever went to AEW. And the guy is great. To see what he went through health-wise, you don't wish that on your worst enemy. And that has ruined some people's careers. So it's not just him having this match and seeing him back, but I want to see him have no complications coming out of the match. So Adam Cole versus Daniel Garcia, that's a match I want to see. So I take that back earlier. Now they're going to have a confrontation tomorrow. Grayson Waller and Johnny Gargano will have a confrontation. They will definitely, even if they have to be creative about it, they will have a confrontation. So, all right, couple of tidbits, couple of ratings. We're going to get out of here. First of all, as we've been saying, and it's going to start floating around the newswire as early as tomorrow, Vince McMahon is heading to California. Vince McMahon is going to be meeting with some executives that are interested in buying WWE, and Vince McMahon will be entertaining and hosting some of those executives at WrestleMania. Vince McMahon wants them to see up close and personal how big of a spectacle this is. It rivals the Super Bowl. It rivals this. It rivals. I know it doesn't to that extent, but there are not too many events that the United States does every year that tops this. Very, very few. So they're going to put on their tuxes And they are going to make sure that every aspect of WrestleMania is as good as it possibly can be. Another thing that's going on is Vince McMahon has agreed to give WWE, and I believe it's already been done, he was to give back $18 million. That is the amount of money that WWE spent to investigate him for misconduct in 2022. Let that sink in for a minute. That is a lot of fucking money. That is a lot of money. You actually think about it, that amount may almost be more than what he paid out towards the women, you know, that, you know, he settled with. That is a lot of money, $18 million. It just goes to show you how much money lawyers get, especially when you hire lawyers and you're a billionaire. Oh, I charge $5,000 an hour. Yeah, that's no problem. It's no money. We'll just sell more WrestleZania shirts. That's okay. We'll jack everything up $5. Or we'll raise the shipping cost $3. Nobody will realize. So that's the deal with Vince McMahon. Still no updates with Donald Trump. And I'm not being political here. But, you know, as I said before, if Donald Trump is indicted, then you're going to see the wrestling social media explode, trending Vince McMahon, saying that he should be next, almost begging some women out there to make accusations against Vince, try to get him arrested, try to get him in some type of trouble. It's going to happen. You wait and see. It's going to happen. Kevon Lewis, thank you for the five spot, my friend. He sends his thoughts and prayers to everyone affected today in the Nashville, Tennessee school shooting. I actually got word of it while I was out having dinner with my family. And crazy shit, man, crazy shit. You know, like I said before, I don't want to get into politics here, especially about gun control. But, you know, you hear both sides of it, you know, that we need gun control, or, you know, it's not about the guns, it's about the people behind the guns. You know, I just look at it like, when you have hundreds of millions of guns out there, hundreds of millions, unless you offer $1 million for each gun, they're not going to leave the streets. They're always going to be recycled and circulated. And if I wanted a gun that bad, if I wanted to do something terrible and nefarious, we'll just leave it at that. You don't think I can't go down to Ridgewood, Queens, go to the South Bronx, go to Spanish Harlem, go to Canarsie, which is only 10 minutes from me, and meet with someone and give them $500 or $1,000, $2,000 to get something, you know, with the numbers scratched off? I mean, you want something, you can get it. If you want it that bad, you could get it. And that's the problem. That's the problem. You could ban anything. The people that are committing these crimes don't care about laws. You know, they don't care if something is banned. If they can get it, they will get it. That's, I think, is the biggest problem here. I definitely in favor of some gun control, absolutely. But that doesn't solve a lot of these. Because when you see the level of how many illegal weapons are out there, if I want something, I'm going to get it, whether there's a law or there's no law. You know, that's the thing I think a lot of people don't think about. So, but all right, we're going to start wrapping this up. How long are we going? Oh, not even an hour. We're almost done, though. We're almost done. Let's talk some ratings. Now, we don't have all the ratings breakdowns yet because, first of all, AEW had Rampage Saturday night, and that rating is delayed until Tuesday. Also, as I exposed a couple of weeks ago, is that some news outlets out there have suddenly held back on a lot of positive ratings numbers for WWE and are only releasing AEW. If you notice, suddenly, AEW is the only one available in almost immediate time to get quarter-hour breakdowns from. Everything WWE gets held back 2-3 weeks. It's happened suddenly. And I remember way back in the day when we were doing ratings breakdowns and we were getting quarter hours, and that's when we actually used like 1.4 and 0.9 or 0.8. Now, you know, it's number of viewers, and people are hoarding it. And they're hoarding it to hold positive numbers for WWE. If you think that that's wild and wacky, then how come when you look at a top 20 list that 17 of the 20 shows all have their ratings breakdown quarters available, and the only three on that 20 of the list that don't have it is Raw, Hour 1, 2, and 3. Or on a Tuesday, NXT, Hour 1 and 2. Why is it held for 2-3 weeks? So, here's your breakdown. Last week's Raw did 1,771,000. That is slightly up from last week. The week prior is 1,705. MLW last week for March 21st did 49,000 viewers. That is down from the week prior's 53,000. NXT last week did 550,000. That is down from the week prior's 590. And yeah, they can't get that title onto Carmelo Hayes fast enough. So NXT's gotten stuck in the mud. No question about it. AEW Dynamite last week did 955,000 viewers. Nice increase from the week prior's 852. The high point of the night outside of quarter one was FTR and the Guns having their confrontation following the Guns' title defense. And Stokely Hathaway versus Hook. That did 988,000 viewers. Interesting thing about it is, what was the lowest quarter of the night? It happened to be the quarter before them. And the quarter before them happened to be the quarter after the lead-in from Big Bang Theory. So you know that the first quarter of Dynamite always has those extra Big Bang Theory viewers. Then second quarter takes a little bit of a drop, and then it stables out. This time around, quarter two, which was Darby Allin, Sting, and Orange Cassidy versus Kip Sabian, The Butcher and the Blade, that only did 894,000 viewers. It was the lowest quarter of the night. And whose fault is that? Is it Kip Sabian, Butcher and the Blade? Are fans just getting a little bit of tired of seeing? I don't know. But all I know is that they only did 894, but the following quarter right after it, which was Top Flight versus the Guns, and then the FTR confrontation, that increased all the way up to 988. So obviously a boatload of fans decided they were going to tune in afterwards. So very interesting there. New Japan last week did 48,000 viewers. That is up from the week prior's 44,000. Impact Wrestling last week did 113,000 viewers. That's up from the week prior's 91,000. Rampage, we don't know yet. We do know that last week was 474, so we should have that rating tomorrow. And SmackDown this past Friday did 2,219,000 viewers. That is slightly lower than the week prior's 2,258,000. So SmackDown kept steady. Raw kept steady. I will tell you this. Roman Reigns, hour three for Raw. We bring this up every single week, how the third hour of Raw, there's like a 500,000 viewership drop, sometimes higher, between hour one and hour three. This past week, they maintained the viewers pretty good. It was only about maybe 100,000 viewership drop. And Roman Reigns, at the very end, Roman Reigns actually scored a pretty impressive number. The problem is I don't have the complete quarter hour breakdowns yet. But it's interesting to see that, you know, we had Cody close out a Raw. We've had Sammy and Kevin Owens close out a Raw recently. We've had some interesting stuff close out Raw. We had the women get the tag titles. Lita and Becky Lynch and Trish showed up. And there were rumblings about a tag title change, and that had an abysmal number. But Roman Reigns, you know, towards the third hour of Raw, doing what he was doing, scored a big number. Very, very interesting. Roman Reigns was able to pull that. So I could speak a little Japan, Bernard. I could speak a little bit of Japan. Oh, I got some news for you. Some of you are going to like this. It's not a done deal, but I think, listen, I'm saying this nicely as I can. I promise you, some of you are going to love this. You look at some of the rehirings that Triple H has made. You know, I know the emotional reaction is, oh, he righted the wrong of Vince letting some people go. Unfortunately, you see quite a few people who have returned over the last 8 months, and they are stuck in the mud. Big time stuck in the mud. I mean, we could come up with at least 6 to 8 people. Okay. This is another person who ended up leaving WWE. But if this person returned, I think it would be different. I think this person would not be stuck in the mud, and I think this would be an extremely popular decision to bring her back. Kairi Sane is now doing interviews, and she is officially a free agent, and she welcomes the idea of going back to WWE. She has her visa issues in order, and she would love to come back to WWE. She said that over the weekend. So Kairi Sane reforming the Kabuki Warriors with Asuka, that could very well happen. And I got news for you. Not a lot of people think Asuka has beaten Bianca for the title at WrestleMania. If she doesn't, I'd rather see Asuka and Kairi Sane reform the Kabuki Warriors and win those tag titles. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. Listen, you know, I haven't heard of any negotiations, but she wants to come back. She's willing to discuss. She knows the WWE machine. She's been here, you know, in this neck of the woods. I don't mean here like I work for the company. She's been, you know, in this neck of the woods. She knows the program. She knows how things run. You know, and she was willing to come back. I don't think she would get stuck in the mud. So, yeah, I was a big fan of Kabuki Warrior. I own 2 different Kabuki Warrior shirts. I certainly didn't do it, you know, to get a like or a follow, even though one of them follows me. But I bought it because I like it. I like the team. I like their style. Kairi Sane, very underappreciated when she was on the main roster. But, you know, with under Triple H's regime, you know, I think she would get a little bit better of an opportunity. She would get a chance. I think that's all you can ask for. So, and look, you know, what she did with Mercedes was definitely great. You know, we got to see what happens with Mercedes. I think by the time the summer comes around, I think you're going to start hearing the rumblings of possibly a Sasha Banks return. So, no, I had to share something with you. And I don't have a picture of it, but somebody's going to email it to me for proof, and then I'll show it to you. Somebody that I'm friends with that loves the shows met Mercedes Moné either this weekend or last weekend. He said over the weekend. And got her to sign a photo. And it's her, you know, with her look now with her hair color and everything, and she's holding a championship. And she signed it, Sasha Banks. Very interesting. He did not ask her to sign it, Sasha Banks. He just said, could you sign my picture? And she signed the picture, and she signed it with the dollar sign and the B. She signed it, Sasha Banks. So I told him, send me a copy. I want to see what it looks like. So when he sends me the picture, I will show it to all of you. But I find that interesting that she would autograph a Mercedes Moné picture as Sasha Banks. So, thank you very much, Bernard. Reminiscing, going back to 2010 when he was in high school and tuning into the DTKC show. And he heard the intro the other day. He got chills. Listen, like I said yesterday, you know, if we do more shows, we're going to do them because people want them. And the only way we're going to know that people really want them is by hearing you, seeing people write it. You know, it kind of breaks my heart a little bit for some people who I really thought were good friends, totally shunning and ignore it for the last 2 weeks. And, you know, now it's starting to all come together. That some people that were all sympathetic early on, like, oh, you two should work things out and this and that. I think deep down inside, they were giddy like pigs and shit. They're like, good, good. These two fucking guys, they're no longer together. Now I could fucking grab some of their audience. There's a lot of people that don't want to see us doing shows again. It doesn't bother me. I ain't doing it to piss anybody off. I'm just doing it to have fun and for all of you to have fun. So tomorrow, again, cheap plug, we'll be on Patreon. If everybody is there, Kevin and I will start at 10. We are going to do WrestleMania predictions tomorrow. Trust me when I tell you, I have been thinking long and hard about WrestleMania. And some of my scenarios, I'm telling you, they're going to happen almost to the T. The Dominic one is my favorite because I already picture Dominic verbally saying, I love you, Dad, with those eyes, and Ray is going to melt. He's going to melt like that fucking parquet margarine. I don't know any Latin butter, you know, el whatever, you know, he's going to melt like a stick of butter in a microwave, and Dominic is going to play on Ray's emotions. I just wonder if he's going to do it enough where he overtakes Ray and fools him and wins, or if Ray doesn't fall for it. But the mind games, that's what I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be good, man. So I'm going to jet out of here. Once again, like I said before, please go on Twitter or go on the community section for YouTube. There are two polls going on right now. It's interesting because each poll has a different response. That's pretty wild because maybe because people are on YouTube, they're already on YouTube. They're like, hey, give me something for YouTube. But the response has been a little bit different on the two polls. That's why I'm going to just add the polls together and pull an average, and whatever it is, it is. But vote. How do you want me to handle WrestleMania 39? Do you want to recap Saturday night and Sunday night by myself? Do you want to recap just Sunday night covering both events? Or do you want myself and Kevin to do a DTKC show on Tuesday, recorded, and then post it for everyone late Tuesday night? So those are the three options. No additional options are available. So you let me know. Hey, listen, I'm not stupid. I know that there's going to be 15,000 shows doing recaps that night. And I get it, and I appreciate it. A lot of you come here to see what I have to say, and that is very much appreciative. I just, because of that factor, you know, since some of you do tune into other people's shows, maybe what I said is a different option that you would actually prefer. If the majority says no, you know, do the shows Saturday and Sunday night, I will. But I just wanted to put it out there because I want to know, whatever we do, I know the majority of you out there requested it. So, all right, I'm going to go take some cold medicine. I'm going to pass out tonight. I want to thank you all once again for the birthday wishes. Very much appreciated. Wednesday, we're going to keep it simple. Wednesday is going to be Stand and Deliver predictions. We're going to talk about Dynamite. We're going to talk about a little bit of AEW news. And we're also going to talk about the fallout that is currently going on between CM Punk, Dave Meltzer, Chris Jericho, Jon Moxley, and some people in the media. I'm a supporter of Dave Meltzer. I subscribe to his newsletter. He did some beautiful gestures for me back in the day when I handled some charity drives. We'll leave it at that. But on his podcast over the weekend, something very, very weird went down. And basically, he was expressing remorse and guilt that what he put out there kind of like hurt negotiations further. And I saw a lot of people writing the same reaction that I had. You're a fucking journalist. You don't not post something. You don't hold back. You don't do this or don't do this because you think it's going to hurt somebody's feeling. You're a fucking journalist. Act like a journalist. You know, have the guilt. that somebody gave you what you believe to be reliable information, pertinent information, and somebody gets really upset and there's a falling out from it, if you're that emotionally connected, then maybe you shouldn't be a journalist anymore. I'll talk about it Wednesday. It's complicated. I'm just giving you the Cliff Notes version of it now. So, yeah, it's people have reacted to that. And I'll tell you this much. I was very surprised at the emails that I got in the last 24 hours about what I said about XPW and the penis spot. Quite a few people downplayed it. DT, it's not that big of a deal. It's XPW. It's more of an adult crowd. It's this, this, and that. I'm like, I'm sorry. I can't get behind that spot. To me, how do you attract new viewers? I was baffled by that. Look, I totally respect anybody's opinions out there. Listen, if you are convinced that Roman Reigns is retaining at Mania, tell me. Tell me why. Convince me otherwise. I think Cody gets the belts. Finish the story. He finished the story. That moment with Cody, with his kid, and Brandy, Kevin Owens, and Sami Zayn, and their family, and holding it, it's going to feel like when Benoit won it, when Eddie won it, when Ray won it. That's what it's going to feel like. It's going to give you vibes of that. That's the way I feel about it. But, you know, if you have a different opinion about what happened at XPW, I totally respect it, but I just don't understand how you benefit from that. That's not the advertising you want to get, but whatever. So much love, everyone. I hope you enjoyed your evening. So if you're part of our Patreon family, definitely join us tomorrow at 10 o'clock for a special episode. If not, I'll have it uploaded Thursday at noon. Thursday at noon, it'll drop. So set your reminders. Tomorrow at 6, you'll get the history show. So that, I'm telling you, you're going to love this episode. Of all the episodes, you will love this one. We got so many, you know, like clips in there of things that you either never heard before or you totally forgot about. Some awesome moments as well. And the Ric Flair retirement really gets to a lot of people. It still does to me. And then we'll be back here Wednesday after Dynamite. And it's going to be a fun week. Just got to pace it out. Pace it out, and I think we'll be good to go. So, everyone, thank you as always for the support. I'm going to jet out of here. And Mark Ness, once again, make sure you get in touch with me so I could send you your prize. And that's it. Be well, everyone. Much love. You all take care. Be well.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.